Should we, let's get into her?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right.
Oh, shit. What are we even talking about today?
Welcome back. I can't sing anymore or we will get sued, but you are back for full season two of the Mitts and Twigs podcast. I am, of course, if you're new, your man Mitts, with me as always, the indomitable Twigs. My man, how you doing?
I'd like to start off by I'd like to say super strong Twig or bulking season Twig or something like that, because actually I'm not going to give you the backstory, but I would just like to say, let's do bulking Twig. Let's just say that, because it makes me feel stronger and the nickname's starting to stick in other places, Twig, and it's not because of hockey, it's because they think I'm weak. That's sad truth of my life, but let's carry on.
What a start. You're a girl dad, so you're emotionally strong, which is the only strength that really matters.
Thank you. I am now going to hashtag girl dad after every post, just like every proud father out there. It's a beautiful thing.
Yeah, as you should.
I'm already getting bossed around. It's awesome.
Yeah. Well, who knows? Maybe at some point in the future, we'll be Mitts and Trunk. But for now, it is still the Mitts and Twigs podcast. We had a nice little break there, gang. Thank you for sticking with us. A little moment or two, several weeks perhaps. We just kind of relaxed, enjoyed ourselves. Hockey did next to nothing, at least nothing good, nothing we want to talk about. So we are back, though, coming at you, season two. We're going to kick it off with our Eastern Conference assessment. We're going to go team by team, kind of break down, you know, if there's any meaningful moves in our opinions, what we think of them, their outlook, you know, nothing but the most cutting edge analytics and inside information.
You'll
find on somebody else's podcast.
But we're gonna last year really to build a reputation around the league and get a lot of inside scoop. So now we want to share that information that we've gained. A lot of agents have reached out to us, coaches, GMs, and let me tell you, it's a weird feeling, you know, knowing we have so many fans.
Yeah. Just to recap, last year, I laid into the Florida Panthers. I laid into the Toronto Maple Leafs. I disrespected the New York Rangers. All of them. All of them. Right up on the old cork board. Used it as inspiration and rose to new heights for many of them. Not so much the Maple Leafs. They did their traditional early playoff exit. But hey, there's always next year. Maybe not for Kyle Dubas, but well, you know what? You know what? Let's start there. Let's start hot with Canada's team.
Oh.
The Toronto Maple Leafs. Gosh, where to start?
That pause, I thought you were frozen. Just buffering.
My brain is. I don't know what to say about the Maple Leafs.
Mitch Marner's playing defense.
I want to hope that was just kind of a late headline to scare Sandin into re-signing, which he did.
Yeah.
They've got all their meaningful skaters back. They let Jack Campbell walk, and they brought in a couple of reclamation projects in net. The team that has been blaming their goaltending for years now decided to double down on their excuses rather than fill the need. So Matt Murray, Ilya Samsonov, good luck to you both.
Yeah.
You are about to be eviscerated in the worst way you've ever experienced. I don't know. Last year, I was super high on these Leafs. I thought they had everything put together. I really don't like what they did in net this year. I hope the boys can figure it out. You know, Matt Murray bounced back in his career. Samsonov, still pretty young, but I don't know, man. Toronto's a rough enough market on goaltending. They do not protect their goaltender on the ice or off the ice. Is this really one you, where you, a situation where you want to bring guys like this?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing, like you said, is it's ride or die with the goaltenders, and probably not to their fault. They've already been hit with a numerous amount of injuries on the back end. They're looking thin on defense. And I don't know if that's like great for when you're trying to rebuild two goalies' careers. They have, like I said, last year, the best player in hockey in Auston Matthews. Nobody shoots a puck like that. He's unreal. They have an elite forwards. But it was, I think it was a failed off season by Kyle Dubas. His whole, you know, message to the media and to the fans and to the team was like, we're going to get a goalie. We're going to improve on defense. And he did nothing. But you know what they did get is Callie Yarncroke. Way to go. That's a big signing. I love Callie. It's my boy Callie. But again, I think we just leave this one quick. I'm high on Toronto Maple Leafs forwards. I think they're amazing. I think Auston Matthews can even break more records. And he can easily win another MVP. The biggest thing is how is that a back end going to hold up starting from the goal and the D? And nobody has an answer, because it doesn't make sense to really bring in a goalie that's trying to rebuild and then put him under the most intense pressure and, you know, a suffocating market like Toronto. But they did. So I hope it fails, but whatever. I don't want to see Toronto succeed, but yeah, nothing against Matt Murray. I just don't want to see. Yeah, could you imagine the freaking TSN and Sportsnet and every media market, if they make it to the second round, it'd be like their Stanley Cup. No, thank you. Keep losing.
Yeah, that'll be interesting. Like you said, they still get all that talent. MVP caliber star player.
Yeah.
I don't think there's any question that they should be in the playoffs this year handily. But yeah, if anything, I think they look less impressive than last year. So we'll leave it at that. Leafs fans, sorry, but you're probably used to it by now. Maybe next year you'll get a different management group. They can blow it up and start from scratch. Good luck.
I want to leave this little tidbit. So how long do you think Dubas has it, how long is his leash? They go out and they lose, I don't know, they're 5-10 in the first 15.
If they're not battling, no, let me say this. If they're not like in a secure playoff spot after the trade deadline.
Oh, deadline. Okay.
I think he's got that much time. Like, there's too much talent. They would need massive injuries to not be in the top tier of the league. You know, like there's really no way. Like,
yeah,
they could be competitive with an Ebug goalie every night. That's how good they are. And yeah, that's how weak some of the other Eastern Conference teams are. Spoiler alert. But yeah, I think at the trade deadline, if there's any drama and they don't address it and they're not, you know, sitting like in a safe spot, I think we could see some heads start to roll. But that's like a worst case scenario. I really don't think, I almost can't imagine how that happens barring injury. And I don't think you'd drop a GM midseason if the biggest problem is that the players had freak accidents. So
yeah, I just think, and I don't want to get into this Kyle Dubas like huge thing. What has he really done? Who's he really brought in? This team was basically, the base of this team was already there when Babcock and Lou were there, right? And so I don't know. It's just a fascinating season for them. And they're pulling the Toronto Raptors card and just kind of keep rolling with it until it succeeds, or, you know, it doesn't.
I won't take that Raptors slander, but I will say Kyle Dubas is the GM version of Andrew Bernay as a coach. And he may see the same fate at the end of this season. Let's move a little east, not too far, to another Atlantic Division team who their GM star, whilst is almost on a opposite trajectory of Kyle Dubas. For years, we were making fun of this man. And now that the regulator is off, the governor is off, and the ladies are in charge, Pierre Dorion is making it happen. The Ottawa Senators are a team on the rise. Now, I made bold predictions a few episodes back last season. I'm saying the Ottawa Senators make the playoffs this year.
Yeah.
I stand by that. I don't think it's going to be a cakewalk, but I've got nothing but excitement for this team, buddy. Tell me about, what do you think?
I think the Melnick daughters are superstars, and I love that they're just going for it. I still can't believe Chicago got rid of DeBrincat. Like, you look back, you're like, well, why? Why would you do that? They're the team of hype right now. Other than the Calgary Flames, no team has seen bigger stars like come in right now, right? DeBrincat, Giroux. They got Cam Talbot in net, so that looks like it solidifies it a bit. They're hoping Shabbat's going to be healthy. Brady Tkachuk should be able to take another step. Josh Norris, Timmy Stew. Like, there's a lot of Timmy Stew hype, not for tripping, but maybe for scoring. We don't know, or, you know, maybe. I want to jump on this bandwagon. I do. Like, the Senators bandwagon, there's so many exciting prospects to it. And the hype, like I said, it's a team of hype. Am I sold on them? That Atlantic division is tough. Like, it is a nightmare. I think Florida is going to be really good. Tampa's the best team. Toronto, Boston still there. Detroit's going to take a step. The only two teams that really aren't are going to be Buffalo and maybe Montreal. But yeah, I don't know. They're right on the cusp there. They're right there. I hope they do because their fans deserve it. But look at Ottawa, ever since Eugene passed, rest in peace. It's tragic. The guy loved the team. The arena's gotten sorted out. Maybe did that happen before he passed away?
Honestly, couldn't tell you. I don't think I even thought to think. Melnick, you know, again, RAP. Melnick was not somebody that I really gave two flips about because he was usually being very contentious and quite frankly.
But that's fair. That's fair. I'm just saying, ever since he passed, I don't know if it was right before he passed or whatever, and I'm sure he had a lot to do with the deal still, though. They're getting a brand new spanking arena. The daughters have just allowed Pierre Dorion to just get good right now, spend money on players. And they're not spending players on, like, old ones. DeBrincat's there. Giroux still got a lot in the tank. He wants to win a cup. They've signed everybody long-term. Mm-hmm. Drake Batherson, though, we don't know what's up with him. Team Canada, sexual assault, his name's still up in the books. That, if he comes out of the lineup, that's a huge hole on the right wing. But yeah, I'm going to say bubble team. I'm going to give them bubble team, bubble hype team. That's where they're at. The bubble.
That's fair. That's fair. The hole left in the lineup. No, I'm not going to make that joke because there's still a lot of evidence to come. So we'll just leave that as it is. Let your imagination think about where I was going with that joke. That terrible, terrible, thoughtless joke that I do apologize for that I didn't actually complete. Let's move a little bit further east to La Belle Province. Les habitants de Montréal.
Now, this is a team. I'm not even going to say
this is a team on the rise. You know.
No.
I think.
Sell me, Matt. Sell me. Pretend you work for Vivint right now and you're selling me door-to-door sales.
Well, I'll tell you this. Maybe this is a great year to get to know the young players that are going to be really great in a few years. You know, the Cole Caulfields, the Slavskis, who is apparently already
underperforming.
Well, I was going to say one of the heaviest players in NHL history.
Oh, totally went off the wrong track than you did.
Yeah, no, apparently his body mass is only just shy of the Charas and the Bufflins, which, hey, if you can have a career like Bufflin, that's a career and a half. Montreal is quite clearly a basement team, even with the full shout out to Marty St. Louis, and who appears to be, you know, the next great coach and did really wonderful things with the team last year and opened things up. They're still clearly going to struggle for wins. The talent just isn't there, at least not mature enough. And
yeah,
Jake the Snake in net is, I mean, it could be worse, but it not by much.
No. Again, young team, super young team. You hope for Kirby Doc and a bounce back. Yeah, so Slavkovský is huge, just like me. Like, it's sweet to see guys like me finally get drafted, big and strong, and
yep,
just sturdy. 6'7", 250.
Yep.
Yeah, it's nice to get, you know, recognition for the big boys. But yeah, they're a bottom team. I don't even think we have much to say. They're still in like the Connor Bedard running. And that would be amazing if they got him. That team would be out of this world. Yeah. Slavkovský is already not performing. GM Kent Hughes came out the other day and was like, not great. But again, he's a young player. And I've already traded in my fantasy league, so I don't care. But yeah, Montreal, bottom team. That's what it is.
Fair enough. Yeah, no, I think there's not much that needs to be said. Montreal fans, you know, there's things to look forward to, of course, but it is just in the development aspect. You're not going to be looking for W's as much as like moral W's, if you know what I mean.
Oh, the moral W stage in the franchise rebuild. They all played really hard today, guys.
Right? They learned some important lessons.
Yeah. Back check.
Moving on to a franchise that hopefully is ready to take the step away from moral W's.
Oh, no.
We've got our Buffalo Sabres. Now, I'm not going to sit here and tell you that they're a playoff team. Heck, I'm not going to tell you that they are not a basement team. But there's some exciting things going on. And there's some young talent coalescing. There's some possibility of cream rising to the top. And I, for one, am getting a little excited about it. What do you think?
I'd like you to tell me the three exciting things that are happening in Buffalo, other than the Bills.
Well, I mean, they're bringing back the that classic.
Yeah, they are. That jersey is fire. Like, as the kids say, that jersey is red hot, not just because there's red on it. It is actually a beautiful jersey. It really is. It's so nice. There's nothing happening in Buffalo. There's nothing. It's no, I'm not. Again, we've just talked about two, and like, there's nothing happening. Cool. Alex Tuck is healthy all year. Buffalo native or whatever, New York native. Great. Cool. What's he going to get? 10, 15 goals, maybe 20. Awesome. Jeff Skinner's still there. Cool. Really exciting. Yeah. Didn't Craig Anderson resign, or where is Craig at? I don't even know.
I mean, Craig's nothing more happening.
On the ice. What?
Craig's more of a coach on the ice. I mean, you know, it's invaluable that kind of leadership and experience.
Super valuable. But like, to be fair, nobody's watching that team, and rightfully so. There's nothing to watch.
Yeah.
Owen Power. Let's hope he turns into something. We just watched what happens when you rush a defenseman. With Rasmus Dahlin in Buffalo, where he sucked for how many years? Like, again, this, show me something. Like, if you asked a Buffalo fan, they'd be like, yeah, this season's going to suck. It's about 82 games of nothing.
What about the emergence of the skyscraper, Tage Thompson?
Oh, Tage, welcome back to reality, buddy. You're not having a season like that again. I'm just like, there's nothing. Buffalo Sabres. This is what the headline should be. Buffalo Sabres. Boring. Nothing. Painful season on its way. That's what it is.
Well, I would consider an off-podcast bet that they finish higher than our next team, who are also trying to take that next step. And in a lot of ways, really aren't any further along, in my opinion, the Detroit Red Wings.
I'll take that bet. Yep, I'll take that bet.
I mean, the Red Wings have some flashes. They've got some exciting things. Back-to-back off seasons, they brought in a hot young prospect. I mean, Husso's in his mid to late 20s, so maybe not that young, and kind of fell apart in the playoffs, so maybe not that hot. What have you done for me lately? He takes the spotlight off of Ned, who can, you know, the young 14-year-old goaltender they got from the Minnesota Wild that give him a couple more years to develop. I don't think the Red Wings are nearly as close as a lot of people are open. And I feel like it's less so that they're almost there and more so that people are already tired of this rebuild, but they really didn't build anything.
Cider on the back end. Dylan Larkin's still there. You're hoping finally that Philip Zadina will take a freaking step. Lucas Raymond solidified their center with Andrew Kopp. David Perron, no slouch. The man will like pot you 20-25 with his eyes closed. Do we know if Huso is going to be amazing? No, probably not. Like, he'll probably be a 1A, 1B with Ned. But still, I am in on Detroit hype, maybe being a bubble team with the likes of the Ottawa Senators in the Atlantic. Is Buffalo going to finish ahead of them? No way. No way. Not even close. It'll be like a 20-point difference. Easy.
Ooh, you just wait.
I love what Stevie Y did in the offseason. I really do. Do I think they make it? There's a chance. Luck has to go their way. They have to play out of their minds. Do I think? Yeah, I'm big on Cider. I'm big on Lucas Raymond. I'm really hoping Philip Zadina turns into something. And Dylan Larkin, here we go, baby. Let's start the show. And Mitch, I only say that because I'm trying to get you to trade me more players. That's why.
I think we all know that Larkin is going to fade under the spotlight. He's more of a small market rebuilding team superstar than actually getting things done kind of player. The Detroit Red Wings are, I think they're about due for a rebuild, like a good rebuild, like a good, you know.
That is the spiciest take so far of season two. They've been rebuilding for like 12 years.
Yeah, but the blueprints have been crap. So
more cider is an amazing blueprint.
How many years of professional hockey does he have?
He's got one.
Yep.
Yeah.
He's got one good year.
Let's
look great.
Let's build on that.
One player does not a defense make.
What?
One player, he's one guy. There's five other defenders that are gonna be back there. Basement team, not a playoff team.
Okay, that's fair. I just don't think they're a basement team.
Oh, hey, if you're not in the playoffs, you're in the basement.
Okay, that's quite some great logic.
All right, let's go. Let's kind of wrap up the Atlantic here. What do we got? We got to move over to Boston.
Buffalo had more points than Detroit last year. That's not a good look on me saying 20 points difference. Not a good look. Okay.
We get our Boston Bruins who are going to run it back one more time. Hey, it didn't work last year or the year before, but let's run it back one more time with all the same players, except Tuukka Rask this time. I think Boston's going to be a bubble team. They're probably maybe going to be in the playoffs. And if not, they're not going to miss by much because with Ullmark and Swayman back there, they're going to have a tandem. They can keep them in it most nights. Yeah. You know, they're missing some key players to injury, but they're also going to play relatively well enough with some of their top-end talent that they'll be okay. They also have some bottom-feeding teams to feast on, which we've already talked about, that I think they're just going to outplay a lot of them. Pasternak in a contract year, and he's going to be looking for a really big deal in a better team probably in this offseason. So, yeah, I think Boston's going to give it one last hurrah. And I think that their storybook ending is going to be as they make the playoffs to finish off the regular season. Because there's not going to be anything that they're going to want to see after that.
But so. Matt, Krejci's back, baby.
Yeah.
Krejci.
Yeah.
Old David.
Yeah.
He's
projected ahead of Bergeron in the lineup at the moment for some reason.
Number one C, just like that for free. He's only coming back to one team, Boston.
Is it the only team that called?
Whoa. I think you put some respect on David Krejci's name, man. Krejci. Check. Krejci. My guy. That's my Krejci spiel. Reality is injuries, man. McAvoy's out. Frick, who else is out?
Marchand.
Marchand, that's the other guy. Marchand is out. Yeah, they're a straight bubble team. They were a bubble team last year. They made it. It's going to be between three teams, Detroit, Ottawa, and Boston. They have the pieces. Like you said, the goaltending is amazing. That 1-2 combo is deadly. Swayman should take a huge step. Even, you know, he could finally like really turn into something solid. I'm still with Boston. I think Boston makes it over. And this is going to sound hot. First hot take of the year. Can we get like a red light in here? Like whoever does the editing on these videos or in the audio, our new intern, Jimmy, work on the red light here. Red light, hot take, red light, hot take.
Yeah, there you go.
Boston finishes in the playoffs over Ottawa. Hot take. That's why I said get those lights going.
That is one steaming pile of hot take that you just dropped.
Yeah.
Oh, that makes me feel dirty. All right, let's...
I was feeling dirty. Oh, I wish I didn't say that.
let's go south like this podcast already is. Down to hurricane-stricken... I shouldn't laugh at that. Hurricane-stricken Florida. Tampa Bay and the stately Florida Panthers. Both teams look like they're in the thick of it. We don't have to do both of them together. I famously predicted my end of season hot take that Tampa would miss the playoffs this year.
Yeah, you're right.
No, because the season hasn't started yet, so I could still be right. I'm gonna hold on to that. Call it pride, call it hubris, but I'm going to tell you, I'm going to say it again, and I'm going to repeat it every time it comes up. Tampa misses the playoffs this year. Cool. I wish I'd said Florida misses the playoffs because their offseason, I mean, I don't know. They're still probably better than most of the teams in the East. They're still going to make the playoffs. They still do have some talent, high-end talent. We talked about it off pod. It's yeah. Yeah, I think I was thinking of the wrong Florida team when I made that. But here we are. Tampa basically running it back with the same championship squad, and the Panthers getting rid of franchise stalwart and superstar defenseman in exchange for the rat, new rat,
FU rat, Dick.
Yeah, what do you think about those teams?
I am high on Tampa Bay.
I know, I
have not much to say. I've basically propped them up every time I have the chance. That organization's so well run. They know when to get rid of players. They know when to trade for players that like are going to help with the run. Like I crapped on their Nick Paul, crapped on it. Like he made a big difference. They have the best goaltender in hockey. Sorry, Igor fans and stands. I get it. I love Igor. He's amazing.
That's you.
I'm not Igor Stan.
You're an Igor Stan.
I guess I could be an Igor Stan. I really love Igor, but I Vasilevsky's the best goalie in hockey. If they're fully healthy, like they haven't been in the past couple of years, nobody really gets by them. Again, you just can't. There's no holes. There's just no holes in Tampa. Florida, on the other hand, that piece of shit Kachuk. Sorry.
It's like we're going R-rated this season, folks.
R-rated season two, baby. Sorry, yeah, Brian. Have you looked at their decor?
Ekblad.
It's like Ekblad, and then
like we got Radko back there still.
Yeah, oh Rad, the big old Gudis.
He's good for at least 35 games this season.
Yeah, Montour. Yeah, he's okay. Forsling. I guess Forsling has some great underlying numbers. I don't know, man. Like, that's not the way. And then they're now paying their two goalies next year. Their two goalies are paying $15 million in net. That is insane. Like, that's insane. Calgary's paying $6 million. What is St. Louis? What's Binnington's cap?
Oh, Binnington is $6 million, I think.
Okay, and then what is your lover? The German lover, Grace.
With the double S. I think he's about, I think he's 1.5, 2-ish.
Okay, so that's average, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's average. Not in Florida. They're doing nothing average. They're trading 2 star players for 1, plus a first-round pick and a prospect.
Yeah.
And then not filling that defensive hole. Oh, wait, maybe we'll trade for it. Nope, you have 0 first-round picks till 2026. Your prospect pool is kind of, you know, weak. Lundell's going to be nice. Cool. So you got 1. Yeah. Do I think Florida misses? No. I think their offense is kind of, it's a similar situation to as like Toronto. Defense sucks, but yeah, the offense will carry him through. Sasha Barkov might be top four center with the likes of McKinnon, McDavid, Matthews and Barkov. And we're still not giving credit to Sidney Crosby, but bubble team. I'm putting Florida Panthers bubble playoff team. I think it's fair.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it is fair until they show they have it on the ice. For a team that won the President's Trophy last year, went all in on the playoff run. They got a lot more questions, a lot more holes than you would expect for an offseason.
It just doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense to me, like what you just piggybacking before you move. It doesn't make sense to me how you win the President's Trophy. Usually, like teams that win the President's Trophy build off of that, but they let Giroux walk. They traded Huberdeau, who was, you know, I guess on record for just telling Bill Zito a big F you after he told him he got traded. Mackenzie Weegar, who right now in all reported estimates that have been leaked is not asking for that crazy amount of money.
Mm-hmm.
And he played amazing with Ekblad. So now you've broken up like one of the best offensive defensive pairs in hockey. For a guy, Matthew Tkachuk, that you're not even like projected to be playing with Barkov, it just seems wild to me. And then you pay him 9.5. I love Matthew Tkachuk. I wanted the Flames to keep Matthew Tkachuk and Johnny Gaudreau. But Huberdeau and Weegar, especially when your team's right there, I don't know if that's a trade I would do every day. But yeah. I also don't get paid the millions of dollars to make those decisions. So who am I?
You are drunk.
Thank you. I'm Slavoski's stunt double.
Yeah.
Put me in, baby.
You're a regular buff ass dude.
Yeah.
I'll work. Just I'll get better at the delivery throughout the season, I promise. That's the Atlantic, folks. We're going to move on to the Metropolitan Division. And there's a couple different types of teams in this Metro Division. There's old and sucky. There's old and good. There's young and sucky. There's young and good. And then there's a team we're going to start with, which is the Philadelphia Flyers. And I can't decide if their season is going to be encapsulated by that Benny Hill, like silly music that like it's going to be a joke. It's either that or it's just going to be like the horror music. Like it's so bad. The situation in Philadelphia is so bad. They are still being run by a shadow GM and Bobby Clark. They still don't value talents or leadership or work ethic. They brought in John Torts Tortorella, who should never have coached professionally, you know, in this high of a caliber ever again, in my opinion. They brought him in. I think day one, he said that they had bad culture, bad talent, bad leadership. Basically, the whole place was a steaming dumpster fire, which really makes you question if you can figure that out in one day, why would you take that job unless you're just self-absorbed and full of.
I would run through a wall for that John Tortorella, man.
I would run through a wall to get away from John Tortorella.
No, that speech, that's your opinion on that speech. I listen to that speech and I'm like, I feel like that's something like Daryl Sutter would say when like he came in on Calgary and they're like, oh, you got all the star talent. The only thing Philadelphia doesn't have the star talent, but you got all the star talent, but you're not winning.
Mm-hmm.
But John Tortorella shouldn't be coaching a basement team. I'm just saying, I don't think he should be in the hockey in coaching right now after what he said his hot takes with Trevor Zegras. But that speech, I was like, God damn, put up a wall. I'm running through that wall for that man. Like, I love those type of like, I'm here. My door is open. You come talk to me, even though we all know his door is not really open. But during that speech, I'm like, oh, his door is really open. Now this man's changed. I'm like, I would run through anything like him. It was like a Dan Campbell-esque.
Oh,
whoa. We were just missing the tears. We were just missing the tears. The only thing between that Dan Campbell and John Tortorella like have difference, you know, is John Tortorella's won before. That's the only difference.
Wow. The only difference between them is everything about them as humans. Dan Campbell, sorry, hockey listeners, coach of the Detroit Lions, Dan Campbell, has played the game for winning teams. Torts looks like he'd pull his back out picking up a clipboard.
He's like 75.
I'm even in his prime. Dan Campbell is he's got an emotional IQ on a level that Tortorella can't even count that high. And the man just understands people in a way that very few do. It shakes me to my core that you would even mention those two in the same sentence. So we're going to move on. Regardless, Philadelphia, dumpster fire, basement team, their best player probably won't play this year because he hurt his back twice in the same calendar year.
Yeah.
They're months away from completely destroying any chance of a career that Carter Hart really ever had. Kevin Hayes, probably the most talented player they have up front, which is just a shocking comment. And Philadelphia fans, I'm sorry. I don't have anything against you or your hockey team, but it is a completely bereft of character, talent, or moral fortitude. And
But they got Uncle Tony.
Yeah, no, I covered that.
Oh, sorry. Right. I feel for Carter Hart, but I do want to say the sleeper trade target. Everybody wants Jacob Chychrun, and I get it. He's big time or supposedly big time. I don't know if anybody in Arizona has ever been big time. But Ivan Provorov, I think in the right situation, and we saw early in his career, can flourish, like can just turn it on. I don't think it's ever easy playing in an organization that like clearly is so backward stepped, like Philly. They not wanted to accept a rebuild, and they've just continued to just pile these seasons of complete, should I say it? No, I won't say it. Crap.
Mediocrity.
Yeah, it's just, and nothing like Travis Konecki. Man, this team, if they would have just like picked an actual realistic goal instead of thinking the team that they kept putting on the ice was going to win a cup after they signed Kevin frickin' Hayes. Yeah, I don't know, man. Like,
yeah,
Connor Bedard's gonna look great in orange. He's gonna look great.
I hope he pulls a reverse Eric Lindros.
Yeah, that'd be sick, eh?
Yeah, they got no direction. They got no heart. They got no leadership. They got no coach worth a damn. They got nowhere to go but down. They're gonna really enjoy picking high in next year's draft.
Oh, they're gonna pick top three easy. Top three easy. They don't even have a starting
Top three. Yeah, they're going to have some competition in the West, which we're not going to cover the West this week. We'll cover that future. Let's move on to a team that has different vibes, more exciting vibes. Maybe not going to finish that much higher, but much better vibes. The Columbus Blue Jackets. The Columbus Hockey Blue Jackets. I think that's what they're going to be doing this year. It's just putting hockey in between the first and the last name of everybody. Just something that I kind of came up with. No reason why. How do you feel about the Columbus Blue Jackets? They're trunks?
I just want to rip this jersey down right now. I don't know. Again, like, cool, you got Johnny Gaudreau because Philadelphia didn't want him. Like, legit, that's how you got him.
Yeah.
He's going to be...
They chose JVR over Gaudreau.
Which is mind-boggling. Hey, we think we're close to winning a Stanley Cup every year, and then finally, like, the biggest free agent that's ever wanted to go to Philadelphia not figuratively, like he's not actually that tall, like he's quite small, right? Like tiny little fella.
Mighty Mouse.
Yeah, like, I don't know, and you tell them no. I don't know what Columbus is. What is Columbus?
Like, Columbus, Columbus is a franchise in flux. Columbus has a lot of great press, a lot of good vibes. They're reasonably talented at goaltender, but not necessarily. I don't think they're top tier at goaltender. They don't have steel multiple games or series goaltending. They've got some decent defense. You know, Werenski back there is really coming to his own, and decent, but again, not game stealing defense, not like, you know, challenging and crushing the other team defense. Good. And they've got some good and talented forwards, but I don't think they're there yet. And I think they also have a weird mix of players like Johnny Gaudreau, who's in his prime, but arguably, let's say, in the probably the later years of his prime. Not saying he's done.
He's not done.
Drop off too hard. But Patrick Laine, who is just due for a breakout season one of these years. We're finally getting to see the sniper that he was always meant to be. No, I think Columbus is going to be a tough out most nights. I think Columbus is going to give a lot of teams a hard time, and no one's going to want to play them. I don't think they're a playoff team, but they're not a basement team. I think that they're in that really, as a fan, that really terrible position where you know you're not good enough to actually win it all, but you're not bad enough to take advantage of that, and you're just in the middle. And that's a tough place to be as a fan, so... Yeah. Two Columbus fans. I don't know. I guess maybe I shouldn't say it. You got to be excited.
Johnny Gaudreau missed the mediocre Calgary Flames. He decided to find that in the Eastern Conference. All those years of like, oh, maybe we'll make it. Maybe we won't make it. Maybe we'll make it. That's what he picked. He picked that. So I hope he makes it. I really do. And I hope Eric Goodbranson cooks a mean deal, and him and Eric are just going to chill out and love those L's and, you know, just.
Those guys are going to live their best life making pools of cash in a market where they can just go to the superstore and not be bothered.
True.
And not have the stress of having to work overtime come the spring.
Yeah.
I don't mean like overtime games. I mean like, you know, playoffs, like working hours. They're just going to simply say, sorry, that's not my schedule. And they're going to check out. They're going to clock out. Now, I don't blame. I got no ill will towards Johnny and his family for choosing.
Me neither.
Family. Well, I say congrats. It's sincere.
I think Johnny just had a kid. I think he did. This is me being nice. Congratulations, Johnny. That's exciting. I just recently went through that. Probably not with the same amount of like capital that you have and money to make things easier. But congratulations.
In your defense, I think his jerseys are supplied and you buy your own. So that probably right there.
Yeah. Yeah. Thanks for that. Yeah.
I just mean that's, you know, his expenses versus.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. No, again, you nailed it.
That's the main difference between the two of you, I think.
Anyways, Columbus is going to be average. They're going to be right in the middle. I think Kent Johnson is a freaking wizard, and that prospect is somebody to watch. And Johnny all of a sudden loves him because he gave him his number. So freaking whatever. Let's move on.
Well, let's move on to a team that we can maybe you'll be more excited. This falls in that category of old and they suck, in my opinion, Washington Capitals.
Is this division the most boring division in hockey?
I mean, I would say yes, but like coast bias is a real thing. And because this is an East Coast centric division, it's going to get all the attention.
I'm just saying this division out of all of them, like I'm going to nail it off. Carolina, exciting as heck. Like awesome. New York Rangers. Cool. They're going to be really good again. Pittsburgh, boring now. Washington, boring. Islanders, death. Blue Jackets, heartbroken. Devils, what are you? Philadelphia, basement feeder. What a boring division. Could you imagine being a fan and being like, I am so stoked to watch the New York Islanders. We're sitting here talking about this division. This division sucks. It sucks. Give me Arizona. Give me the college feels over this division. What's Sidney Crosby? We know what Sidney Crosby is.
Yeah, one of the greatest hockey players of all time.
I love Sidney Crosby. Are you tuning in to watch him every night? No.
Well, it's too early. His games are too early. I'm not done working yet. I've got to eat dinner.
I don't know. This division sucks, man.
It's
so tough, getting pumped for this division. I'm like,
I kind of want to argue with you on this, but I can't because my heart is kind of, I want to believe that the Devils are going to figure it out this year. I choose to believe that they're going to figure it out this year and they're going to make the playoffs and it's going to be awesome. I don't have any evidence to back it up. And if pressed, they'll probably miss the playoffs again. I feel like the exact same thing could be said about the Islanders.
Not making the playoffs.
So the Islanders went through some wild stuff last year in terms of schedule.
Oh, yeah.
Games and all that jazz. I choose to believe that they're going to be better. They're going to make the playoffs this year. I cannot put together a cohesive argument based on other than
who's the coach.
I think it is John Hancock.
No, I'll give you a hint. It's LL.
Cool J.
Again, this division sucks, man. It's freaking that Lambert guy. This division's terrible. I'm with you. Give me the Devils. I am all on the Devils hype. Dougie Hamilton, revenge season. Here we come. Get him in all those freaking museums. Get him pumped up before the games. Let him touch the dinosaurs. I don't know. All that stuff. Get that man pumped up. He's coming. I'm ready for Jack Hughes. I think this kid is going to be electric this year. And we can finally put to bed the, oh, he makes too much money and hasn't accomplished anything. Yeah, that's why you pay him a little bit more. So in year 6, year 7, year 5, and year 8, I totally messed that math up. He's really, really good. And you're getting great value. Look at Nathan MacKinnon.
Yeah.
Look at that. Everybody's trying to do that. And I think Jack Hughes can do that.
I mean, most teams are, Dallas is not. Dallas is trying to emulate the Philadelphia Flyers.
Doing a pretty good job. That is a piece of shit. You can bleep it. I don't care. But that
I'm not bleeping it. We are so far past. Look, Brian, I'm sorry if you listen to this around your kids. Put your headphones in, your AirPods. I don't know. I'm sorry. I don't know what to tell you. Kids, if you're out there, swear words are just, listen, it's like anything else. When overused, it's awful. But when used with moderation, you're not going to find better words to describe things. And
especially the owner.
Yeah. Especially when you're talking about the Dallas Stars and their owner. I think, going back to the Metro, I mean, the Washington Capitals and the Pittsburgh Penguins have been on interlocked trajectories since the end of that lockout, where it became Sidney versus Ovi. They've been interwoven. All their stories, everything about it has been, who is the team?
Yeah.
What I think we're seeing going into this season is, and I'll throw it out there, I'm biased because I've always been a Sid guy, not be surprised. The Penguins keeping the core three together.
Yeah.
Stud goaltending coming back. Filling in pieces around them that, I'm excited a little bit about, like Raquel there. Like, there are good things going on there versus the Capitals, who, I mean, outside of Backstrom, I don't think anybody on that team actually thinks they got a chance at doing anything this year. They exist solely to push Ovi across the finish line. It's still probably two or three seasons away at best.
I think it's four seasons, 26 goals per season.
Yeah, he could probably get 30 to 40 healthy this year.
He had 50 last year.
Yeah, but they're terrible this year. Nick Backstrom's probably going to miss the season. They brought in Darcy, I was also there, Kemper, to play goal off of his Stanley Cup winning season. What? He was also on that team that won the Stanley Cup.
Okay.
He didn't play a big role. He was there.
Oh my God.
He had great stats, and he got a good paycheck. Good for him, man. Like, I got no ill will towards Kemper. Just the idea that they would ditch Vita Vanacek and Ilya Samsonov and just resoundingly say, we can't develop talent in goal. We are giving up on young talent, and we would like to bring in a guy who had already shown holes in his game past his prime as our stud goaltender.
Doesn't make sense.
And then they signed the Blues, Charlie Lindgren, who did great things in the NHL last year. I'm not going to say anything disrespectful about Charlie Lindgren because I'm a fan.
You're a Charlie Lindgren stan, my guy. You love that goalie.
I'm just saying, you had a 50-save shutout. I mean, not everybody else would say that. But I don't think that's going to be the answer. I don't think him or Kemper is the answer there. And I don't think there's a whole lot. The team's going to put up points. They're going to have some fun games. And it's going to be really fun to watch Ovi just eke his way over those milestones. I can't wait to see him out on the ice with a rocker or just sitting fully on his butt. And they're shooting pucks off of him to ricochet into the net. One of the teams between Washington and Pittsburgh is probably going to be in the playoffs.
Pittsburgh
and may go on a magical run like it was predicted last year.
Yeah.
And the other team is might fall ass backwards into the playoffs because the East is a league of have and have nots, and it's embarrassing. So
I actually feel for Alex Ovechkin, because if it wasn't like, if there was any other commissioner, he would have like broken that record. Like, how many lockout years has Gary Bettman had? And then COVID. Like, he'd be closer.
If you can only pick one hockey player that you don't have sympathy for, I'm not talking.
Thomas Grice.
I'm not talking about people that you would hate, because obviously there's lots of horrible human beings out there, but somebody that you have no room for even an iota of sympathy, it's Alexander Ovechkin.
What? On ice product. Are you taking off ice product?
I may be taking some off ice product, but still, the guy has had a great career. He's chasing down the unbreakable record.
It's about to be broken.
He's being just propped up and floated along.
Back. Okay, I hate this division.
I'm just saying, there's no reason to have an ounce of empathy or sympathy for the challenges that this super wealthy, super connected.
They're all super wealthy. They play in the NHL.
Not all of them are, connected in the way that Ovi is.
Oh, my God.
I'm just saying that his NHL salary may not be.
Are you trying to say Alex Ovechkin is the Brett Favre of the NHL?
No, Brett Favre is an awful human being who, if it wasn't a daily competition down south to see who could be the worst human being, Brett Favre would often win that competition most days.
Fortunately,
it's a very tough competition down there.
Fair. I don't have any time for your Alexander Ovechkin slander. On ice, Alexander Ovechkin slander. Off ice, yeah, we can talk about a different story. But I think there's worse people in the NHL. Just saying, there's a couple we could talk about this year.
Some people have impact on like the lives of one or two people that's negative, and some people have the ability to negatively impact entire nations. Moving on, the two teams that are remotely exciting in this division.
Let's just get this division over with.
Well, we've got your New York Rangers, who I am not going to spend a moment of time insulting this preseason. I mean, they're a lock for the playoffs, right? You know, they've got arguably, if you want to make a bad faith argument, arguably the best goaltender in the league in Igor Shesterkin.
Second best.
Yeah. You know, the rightful MVP of last season, Igor Shesterkin. They've got a very, very talented and young and deep D-core. They've got an emerging group of forwards behind an emergent group of forwards. I don't know. They're going to be a serious contender for the Cup this year.
Yeah, great coach.
Especially if Gerard Gallant breaks out any of his actual coaching and teaches them how to play 5-on-5.
They also got Vinny Trocheck, which is like that's an improvement on Andrew Kopp. I love Andrew Kopp. Vinny Trocheck is like an improvement.
Yeah, the man has done nothing in his career.
Who hasn't? Sorry, Kopp? Or wait, what?
Trocheck has the distinction of being a longstanding superstar for the Florida Panthers until they found talented centers. And then he got shipped off to Carolina, where they proceeded to have the most.
It was great in Carolina.
Carolina had better seasons, you know. They more.
I don't know where the Vinny Trocheck hype started. I don't know where that started, but there was some serious Vinny Trocheck hype, and he literally got traded for nothing, which is impressive.
It'll be interesting to see the battles between the Rangers and those jerks in Carolina for the top of that division.
Yeah, it's gonna be great games. There's only two fun teams. Well, again, the Devils are probably the third fun team. Like, the Devils are going to be exciting to watch. They just are.
I hope. They play in New Jersey, so.
Yeah, shit. Johnny Gaudreau rejected them, too. Gotta suck. Palat's okay.
Let's go Nico Hischier.
Here's the thing. You know your team sucks. And this is on Calgary, too. Actually, it's not that much on Calgary because he wasn't going to come back to the West Coast. He just wasn't coming back to the West Coast. I don't know why. Like, and I get it. Like, he's closer to home. I just don't understand the whole thing. Why would you turn $11 million down? You know your team sucks when a player of that ilk turns you down for Columbus.
Yeah, that's a tough look.
Like, that's a tough look. Like, Could you imagine being a fan and be like, no, we're going to be awesome. And then all of a sudden you're like, oh, wait. Johnny Gaudreau chose a team that's worse than us, like prospect-wise and roster-wise and center depth for Columbus. Could you imagine Johnny Gaudreau and freaking Jack Hughes? I would be losing my mind. Like, short kings unite, although I'm not short. I'm 6'7". I'm Slavoski. But still, if I were short, say slightly under 6 feet, I would be all over that. Like, that would be amazing. But no, he's going to Columbus. Piece of garbage. But yeah, I'm super excited for Carolina. Yeah, that's all I got. I'm a bag of emotions.
Yeah.
Like, you know that Katy Perry song? Like, have you ever, you know, like the paper bag?
Plastic bag floating in the wind.
Yeah, that's freaking.
You gotta get past that though, because maybe you're a firework. And show them what you're worth.
You're goddamn right I am.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. I'm gonna call it best episode of the season so far.
We're on a roll.
Yeah, we are killing it. Coming out firing on all cylinders. Wow. My goodness. So that's the East. If we haven't lost you already, I can't wait to find you all back here for us to do the West. If the East is any inclination, tune into our Western Conference breakout where we spend the entire time talking about the Calgary Flames and the St. Louis Blues and then quickly summarizing that there may or may not be some other teams that are also going to engage in hockey there.
Oh, I'm ready. It's so funny when we do these breakdowns, and you're exactly right. Like, they're all like 30 seconds or maybe like 2 minutes, and then the Flames one, 10, St. Louis. Oh, yeah, but what about this and this and this? 10. It's like, okay, where is this in-depth in any of the other teams? The other teams were just like top of the tree, you know? We're just picking the best apples. That's all we're doing. We're no in-depth, no nothing. Our teams, Dylan Dubé, what's he going to be like this year?
Yeah.
I don't know. But it's where our allegiance lie, you know?
Yeah, and it's and look, there's just – I've said this before, I'll say it again. We're the number one Blues slash Flames slash broadly NHL podcast out there.
Amen.
And we're crushing the competition.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who better?
Who?
Look at us. Look at us.
Oh. Wow. Okay. Well, I'll tell you, you know, not bad, considering I know I meant to do a whole lot of prep for this podcast. I had the book out. I didn't do anything. I currently have a window open to remind me of which teams are in which conference and which division that I have used throughout all of this. And I'm impressed. I'm impressed with myself. I'm impressed with us.
Yeah.
And at this moment I'm impressed by my own honesty, just, you know, bearing my soul.
Like, if you were to search the whole internet for like more prepared podcast hosts, you wouldn't find a better combo. No. Like the 1-2 punch of like information and ready. Like we said, we have agents and GMs filling our ears constantly.
Yeah.
What we've learned today, a bunch about the East. The Metro sucks.
Metro sucks.
Detroit's okay. Tyler's built like Slavalski.
Huge.
Huge. Matt hates Ovechkin and Russia. Yeah.
Oh,
sorry.
I mean, that's not incorrect, but maybe this is the right climate to be.
It was a very broad thing to say. Sorry.
I'm trying to grow our listener base.
Certain selective people and political leaders in Russia.
I don't hate the Russian people. I don't hate the geography. I don't even know really any or many of them. I'm not all that happy with Ovechkin.
Yeah.
And with some other prominent Russian people for their actions.
Yeah. Do you remember Alexander Semen? Alexander Semen? Sorry, my bad. Let's end this.
I do. Yes.
Wasn't he the one that was he the one that sat on the goalpost in Carolina?
I don't know.
I don't know how that the Metro just came up to me.
Russian. I know he played for Washington and then he left a bad taste in their mouth and he moved to Carolina, I think it was.
I don't think he played long for Carolina. Okay, let's end this. We're going to go down a rabbit hole we don't want to go down. Yeah.
Let me say this. I'm going to parting thought, because you know, we are trying to wrap this up. We both like to believe we have better things to do. And we know that most of you, if not all, have better things to do than listen to us. But I spent the off season, our off season, listening to some other podcasts.
Yeah.
I listened to some podcasts that are produced still currently by The Athletic. I listened to podcasts with active Patreon accounts that are making money off of their efforts. I listened to a number of well-known and prominent people on their podcast, and I found a lot of them lacking. And so we come to you delivering what I feel is at least an equal product to them.
Hey. Yeah.
Yep. And we're only getting better. So
better.
Calculate that what you will. We'll be playing in the majors in no time. But I do promise you this. I will not sign with the Daily Faceoff only to you know, take a big paycheck and still have their site be complete garbage and full of malware.
That site is just like, I used a lot, but bro, I get you guys want to make money, but the ads.
Daily Faceoff, come on, gang.
What's it like to have ads?
I mean,
hope to know.
If I had an ad,
I feel like we're Kanye West right now, like just begging people to give us money for this podcast. Like, why aren't you buying my $500 slides right now, guys? Why are you not doing this? This is our Kanye West moment.
Oof. Well, as long as this is our only Kanye West moment.
Yeah, like we're. Yeah.
I mean, if I had to choose a Kanye West moment, it would be Through the Wire.
Like, see, I would like want a church. Like he had, like Sunday service.
Yeah, I don't know.
No.
Yeah.
Kind of like big in my community too.
Well, yeah. But I mean, A, you're huge. B, you're huge in your community.
Well, I wasn't meaning that, but okay. Yeah, I am. I'm freaking Jack. Okay, can we end this?
All right. Again, well,
if you guys have ever watched,
know that if you've lost. I'm sure our listeners have too. Thank you so much for listening. I'm leaving all of this in, so that's where we're at. We'll be back next week with our Western Conference breakdown. Tyler will be at least 20 pounds heavier. And he'll probably throw another sweater on, I guess. And yeah, we're going to come at you with these hot takes. We love you. Thank you so much. Be good to one another. Ovi sucks.
Aww.